DJW Mobile. Good afternoon, Dave. K4CH. YW4DJW on a lunch break. Sit down. Lines when you're having fun, huh?
It does that. I must be having a blast because the morning flew by.
I know, it went by for me pretty quick, too. I'm building out more Raspberry Pis with FM SDR receivers on them. And when you're doing that, those little things you got to work out to make them work and make the audio come through nice and loud. And the clock just kind of, the minute hand goes around like the second hand.
So how that is, you get into tinkering with something and you look up and an hour's gone by, it's like, what? So did you ever get your AC problem fixed?
A new evaporator coil in the top, upstairs, in the attic. And it took about a week to come in, and they put it in, and I plot the temperature in there about once a second. And then I pull that in automatically to an Excel spreadsheet and just monitor it. I just look at it. It's on one of the desktops, and as I traverse the desktops, I can see it. And it turns on about four times an hour. Turns on and cools it down, and then in 15 minutes, it's warm enough to where it kicks on again. And so it's a sawtooth pattern to get about four teeth per hour. Works really good. Got it set at 71, and it pulses between 68 and 72. So I'm happy with that. I got a carrier, but no audio.
Got an open mic. That's pretty cool, though. And I guess you're almost single-handedly supporting the Pi Foundation. Is that correct?
Abundance of Raspberry Pis. Because when COVID hit, one of my old number crunching buddies from, I don't know, back in the 80s or 90s, contacted me. I hadn't heard from him in 20 years, and he contacted me and said, hey, we've got a distributed computing team over here. We're crunching for COVID, folding proteins. So we look at the proteins and tell the scientists whether they're interesting or not, so they don't have to waste their time on the ones that's not very interesting. And wanted me to join. And, you know, I used to have what was called crack racks to do that. We had motherboards that booted through the network. They had no physical storage medium. They booted through the network. Well, instead of building all that out again, because they take a lot of power supplies and a lot of energy, I built out a bunch of Raspberry Pis. I had 96 processors, and I was keeping it up with, my pace of crunching work units was about this. It was on par with a lot of the universities that are out there. So I had a blast doing that. Now it's over. The folding is done, and I got a whole bunch of leftover Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I did the SETI at home thing for years. Had pretty good rankings on that, but I never got into the protein folding thing. Once SETI ended, I kind of just didn't go back to it. But I never had dedicated machines hooked up, you know, to do that. I was just doing it. They had that SETI at home like screensaver or whatever that would just run whenever the computer was idle. But my computer's running all the time anyway, so it had quite a few hours of the day that it could just sit there and crunch numbers for SETI.
Comment.
I did. That's how I got started with SETI. Go ahead, comment.
Today is KO4WWC. I'm just curious what y'all was talking about, numbers and proteins.
There's distributed computing competition groups out there that have compute power and build compute power. There's clubs that build compute power. Kind of like we build radios, they'll build supercomputers. and they get together and build the supercomputers, and then they have to have a good cause to put them to work, to make them do work. And when COVID hit, one of the things the scientists needed help with was folding proteins. That's how you find that's how you find the vaccine for COVID, is by doing a whole lot of folding of proteins. You have to read up on it, because it would take a lot of reading. So I don't have enough time to explain all that here. But that's something you can get. That's enough to get you started with Google, because Google's your friend. And I'm backing in the driveway, and I got to go clean carpets now. good talking to you, Keith. Enjoy the rest of your lunch break. And Chandler, I hope that was that helped a little bit. W4DJW.
Have a good afternoon. Don't work too hard on the carpet cleaning thing. Good luck, and we'll talk at you later. Yeah, really interesting stuff. I went to migrate over to the magnetic wave thing and just never got to it. Just after Sadie ended, I kind of ended it all. I had like two machines here running and one at work running the Sadie stuff. But yeah, when that ended, I just didn't get back into it. Anyway, have a good afternoon. We'll talk to you later. KN4CHY, I'll be standing by the list. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, buddy? I was calling, by the way, the Yaesu handheld didn't work out very well for me. Didn't do what I thought it would do. Regardless, I saw where you were you out of town this past weekend? I saw some tracking somewhere down in the lower part of the state.
Plus, I went down to Savannah and the farm, and so if you... Over on the right, if you take the timeline out a few days, you can see my whole track down around that area.
I'll let you guys get back at it and enjoy your lunch. I'll talk to you later on today sometime, probably. Didn't want to interfere with that. I just thought you might be out somewhere, since I thought what I was looking at was correct, but I wasn't sure what these things bounce around sometime. But you must have been using your open spot.
Yeah, you weren't interrupting anything. We were just carrying on back and forth, just to have something to do during lunch break. Hate to hear that the Yaesu didn't work out for you, though.
The APRS part of it was pretty good, but the analog audio was horrible on it. It was sounding like a, you know, $2 radio. I was real disappointed in it. I was expecting it to be better. And the other thing was... I was going through the hot spot, and it really requires, in order to, for the system to work like D-Star does on D-Star radios, you know, versus the fusion, you really need to be hooked into that WireX system, which requires a PC, and I didn't think I wanted to go that route. Keith, you could do it without HRI-200, but would use just one of the mobile or either handheld radios, but that just sounded like a lot of trouble to me. And, you know, that kind of clutches the system up. As far as I'm concerned, it's a lot easier to, you know, you can change fusion, you can change on the radio, that sort of thing, but it's real, you can't ID where they are or any of that sort of thing like you can with V-Star. So I just decided I'd just back off that entirely and maybe find out if I can do a, you know, get a TNC or something, just do a standalone APRS. And Chandler, didn't mean to leave you out there. Go ahead.
You're fine. I'm heading to a friend's birthday party. You're turning 23 today.
I was wondering why you was out running around. I didn't know if you was just at lunch or what, but, yeah, they called it off for heat because it's hot and getting hotter out there, that's for sure. And, yeah, Jerry, that audio on that thing is sure enough disappointing. I would not have thought that out of Yaesu, over.
Transmit idea was fine, but yeah, they've got it like waterproof, like the ID52 is, but it just did the ID52 sounded a whole lot better. You know, on D-Star now, sounded a whole lot better transmitting and receiving just the speaker. Now, the audio, you know, if you were using a full size radio with that Fusion, it would be, that sounded a whole lot better than D-Star because it's just a wider bandwidth that it uses. But on the handheld, it just didn't sound good. Like the other day when you used a station on D-Star, you sounded you know, a lot better the second time around. And Stacy sounded like himself. And I think it's just the radios themselves, you know, that having the settings right. And the other thing I noticed too is I could never get the Fusion going through the hotspot. I could never get the bit error rate down very low, and the bit error rate on D-Star, both these radios, is zero. So it works better with the hotspot I got. It might have worked totally different with an open spot, but you sounded you know, pretty good on yours. And Stacy sounded more like himself than you did. But you know, D-Star's got a little bit of a clip in there, and this radio is a lot. The 705 I'm on now is a lot of these are set up for your mid range and bass and treble. You can cut them up or down just by increments. So this would probably sound a little bit better on D-Star, but it may not. But D-Star does sound a little Mickey Mouse sometimes.
I'm getting kind of weird here. My AC's not blowing as strong as it has in the past. I'm sitting here and my body's drenching and sweat. Like, I am literally sitting that, sitting in the car just with everything on except my shirt.
Continue on Augusta Street.
I'm hot in here.
A little worried about mine in my car too, and we took it down to Georgia, and it still does okay, but it doesn't cool like it used to. It used to run you out. It ain't doing that anymore. Yeah, Jerry, that like right now with you on that 705, I think that's why I noticed it when we were on D-Star that night is, boy, that 705 just sounds wonderful.
Beauty of it, you can set all those on analog and on, you can set it on analog and on digital. And it's, you know, I've always got good reports. Now, D-74 sounds really good, but the 52, you know, like I said, it's not quite as good, but the nice thing about, you know, I'm right now, for instance, I was sending some pictures of D-Star on the 52 a little bit earlier, and the nice thing about that is you can, while you're sending pictures on D-Star to another, you know, through the H5D reflector, you can talk on it while you're sending pictures too, which is kind of interesting. But it does, it just sends it, you know, you can set up the pixels where it sends a low resolution, medium, or high. And they have a net on every Wednesday at 2 o'clock, I think, and it's pretty good pictures come through. A lot of guys don't have, you know, good connectivity to the reflectors through the internet or otherwise. They have a little struggle, but most people have good setups. So it's some pretty decent looking photos. You know, it's an interesting thing. I'm just gonna stick with D-Star for the time being until I get an open spot. You know, when I do that, I may just go on over to, you know, switch it over to DMR, see how it works that way. Maybe I might be able to get away with just an open spot 4 using my Icon 52 and 705. But I have to, you could probably tell me that, whether I have to get the pro or not. But that is in my future, I'm sure. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm learning words like D-Star, DigiPeter, all that. What is D-Star? I know it has to do with the computer and the radio, but I have no clue what it is or how it works or what you do to make it work.
D-Star is a digital voice mode, and Jerry can correct me. I think it was originally from Kenwood? Maybe it is Icon. I'm not sure who originated it. But it's a digital voice mode. I don't know if you've ever heard or seen DMR radios. It's kind of the same thing, just a different protocol. There's D-Star, DMR, and Fusion are the main ones that I know about. There's other ones, P25 and several other digital voice modes, but those are the predominant three anyway. Jerry can let me know who originated D-Star.
You got it on the nail on the head. D-Star was actually a protocol introduced in Japan by the Japanese Amateur Radio League, kind of like ORL here in the U.S. It's real popular in Japan, and ICOM adopted it a number of years ago. And you can either access it through a D-Star radio, which is ICOM, or the Kenwood D-74 has D-Star capability through an ICOM radio, handheld or mobile. Or in some cases, it may be a baseline 705 or 9700. But it's just another digital protocol, and it uses position reporting and that sort of thing as well. But it's not APRS. And, you know, there's just a difference. It's just it's basically another digital protocol, and you can use a radio to do it. You can actually set up stuff through a PC to do it. There are even methods of doing it other ways too, and I don't know all the other methods. You can do it, but you don't even have to have a radio. You can use a dongle with a computer to do it. But based on what it is, they have D-Star repeaters, and it's the same situation as with DMR. They can be local repeaters, and there are a couple of them in there that are real difficult to get into, and from my QTH. But a lot of people just use it either by a computer through the internet or by radio via hotspot. And you can do, they can have a DMR radio and use a DMR radio through a hotspot and access multiple modes with a, like the OpenSpot 4 is the only one I know that's currently made that you can use. You can cross mode on, although Keith probably can correct me. You may be able to do a DMR to some other modes via a Pi-Star, but I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Cause of that, so D-Star sounds really cool. Now I know you, I think it's Keith. I think Keith mentioned something called T25, Phase 25. I am thinking that is what most emergency services use with their Motorola rigs. Am I right?
Is correct. I think it's APCO, APCO, P25, I believe is the whole name. It's just another protocol. And that's kind of where, like Jerry was talking about, I didn't realize that it was the Japanese organization that started D-Star. I assumed it was one of the manufacturers that started that, but DMR got its origins are from a European standard. DMR is a European standard, and Motorola took DMR and did some proprietary stuff on top of it, and that's what's known as Moto Turbo. So anything you see, any radio you see, radio. And some agencies still use that, like here in Oconee County. The Oconee Sheriff's Department is on DMR. That's actually why I got into DMR. I bought a TYT MD380 just to monitor, the local Sheriff's Department, just playing around before I even had my license. So that's how I got into DMR, and then after I had it a little bit, and I had to have my license for the FPV stuff for flying drones, so I figured I'd go ahead and get my license, and so then I could actually transmit on DMR too. Jerry, with the OpenSpot 4 Pro, you can do DMR, I believe, to all. You can cross mode to all of the different ones. I know for sure it can go to D-Star with the Pro, it can do fusion without the Pro from DMR, and I'm sure it works the other way around. That was the only thing with the OpenSpot 1, is you could cross mode to everything except D-Star. You had to have a D-Star radio to do D-Star on the OpenSpot 1, and that was because of the AMBI chip involved. And it wasn't until the OpenSpot 3 that they started doing ambient software. And then when they came out with the OpenSpot 4, they did the Pro version that has the actual AMBI chip on board in the OpenSpot. So it's much more efficient. So I went on ahead and grabbed that one.
I tell you one thing I like about Motorola. Their radios seem to have extremely awesome receive and transmit capability. It does not matter what your location is. You can talk from them suckers from anywhere. I mean anywhere. If you're in a basement underground, you can talk on those radios. And I'll tell you, one of the radios I want to get is the Motorola XDR7550E. WWZ, sir, I think.
Okay, step on Keith. And the Motorola makes a good radio now. There's some of those, I know a couple of guys, one of my friends lives in Atlanta, and he's got one of the higher-end Motorola's. I think he paid about $5,000 for his handheld. He does programming for the, I want to say it's Gwinnett County Public Service people, so he uses this for that too, but, those guys can, they can really run up into thousands of dollars, and like Keith said, that Moto Turbo was, I don't know what added protocols they did to DMR, but, I listen to Cody County on my DMR on my scanner. And it does pretty well. And some of the other counties, Hart County and Georgia, changed over to from analog to Moto Turbo, and so did Elbert County too. And Hart County encrypted about everything they've got. I'm not sure if the Moto Turbo is easier to encrypt than P25 is or not. But Granville County's got all, APCO P25 Phase 1 and Phase 2. Then you get into trunking too, it just gets real complex, and I use a scanner for that because it makes it a little easier for me to follow some of that stuff. But Keith, thanks for the info on the DMR thing, because I'd like to get into that, and as long as I could do it on my D-Star radio, if it worked correctly, I'd be interested in doing it. Otherwise, I'd just pick up a DMR radio and maybe you might help me out with the code plugs on it.
Yep, I could definitely do that. I'm fairly well versed in the DMR stuff. I basically, whenever Stacy needs changes, I do the changes on his, because he's still not learned it. I keep urging him to get in there and give it a try for himself. He's got a good code plug. He can go in and try to add something, and if it don't work, he could always go back to the one, that he's got that's good. But, I've still got the original MD380 I had. I've got a UV380, which is a dual-band model that's the same chassis and everything as the original MD380. And then I just recently bought this Anytone, which I absolutely love. It's a really good radio. And yeah, I know Stacy did get the Yaesu running on all three. He's got it running on DMR, D-Star, and Fusion. But he's got a Pro also, so that's what enables him to do cross mode from the C4 FM radio to D-Star. So, but yeah, if you don't have the Pro model, then you have to have a D-Star radio to do D-Star you know, on the hotspots. And Chandler, just to fill you in, the hotspots that we're talking about is it basically connects to your internet connection and your RF from your radio to the hotspot, and then the hotspot sends it over the internet, comes out, you know, the repeaters or somebody else's handheld on the other end. You basically talk all over the world on them.
Well, that's pretty cool. It's almost like HF, but different. I do have to ask, how much do you know about programming for Motorola HDs?
And I, too, wanted a 7550E, and, you know, like Jerry said, the pricing of them is a little rough. I did find a used one for a price that was still steep, but, you know, it was a little more easy to take. And the biggest problem I've got with Motorola is the programming itself, because you have to license the software on a yearly basis. And also, you if there's features you want, like, I don't know, like GPS positioning and stuff like that, you have to pay for those additional options. So that's pretty much why I stayed away from Motorola. They're built like tanks. They're really rugged radios, and like you said, you can get out usually where something else can't. But just the yearly software license is what's kept me away from them.
How much is the software license?
When I checked on it, it was like, it seemed like it was $250 a year, I believe. Don't quote me on that, though, but it's been several years ago when I looked into it, when I first got the DMR radio. I don't know if Jerry knows anything else about that. Go ahead, Jerry.
If, is you able to want the part with your motors, I would love to consider maybe buying it from you.
I never got one because of the fact that I started looking into the software and it was a yearly license, so that kind of nixed me buying one. Go ahead, Jerry.
No, it's difficult to do, and you have to be very cautious when you're programming them to make sure you don't put, you know, if you try some of those radios, if you try to affiliate with a P25 system, like a law enforcement one, you know, they'll find you, and you may or may not go to jail, but you're going to have to be paying hefty fines if they catch you doing something like that, because the system manager says the radio affiliates with the system. The system manager knows about it immediately, and they'll track you down pretty easily. But that's the only thing I've always been using. You can buy some of them pretty reasonable, but the top end models are just, I mean, unless you're a public service systems manager or something like that, for instance, the Hart Canyon, when they bought that Moto Turbo radios, they bought them for the school system too. And I mean, Harlow's only got about 5,000 people in. The county's bigger than that, but they bought 480 radios. And it was in the millions of dollars. I think they gave them to every janitor and everybody at the school system, you know, and the cops and everybody. Just everybody who was anybody in the county got one. It was a total joke when I found out how much money they spent on it.
That's a lot of money.
When I looked at the, I believe it was a 7550E when I first looked into it. The used prices were going for about $1,200. I don't know what new they were, but yeah, when you start outfitting your county employees with that, it runs up into a lot of money real quick. Yeah, and as far as DMR, I think you'd be hard pressed to beat the Anytone 878, the new UV2 Plus. They're a little expensive, you know, compared to other Chinese radios. They're about $300, but they're pretty solid little radio for what you pay for. And you can, the software's free. You can just download it. And on the programming side, that's a little much too. I've been doing this stuff for 5 years, so I'm pretty well versed in it. But I would imagine it was probably a good 3 months of hardcore sticking my head into it until I got something working, and then probably learning another year or so after that. And I think it seemed like Jerry and Chad was talking one time about learning radios, and I don't know that you'll ever learn everything, because there's a lot of stuff you don't use not being public service. And on the keying up on the like law enforcement repeaters and stuff, I have my MD-380 that I've got Oconee on. There is a checkbox in the code plug for the channels for TX prohibit. And I made really sure all that was checked on all those channels, so I didn't risk having somebody knocking on my door collecting money over.
Roger that. You are Keith and Chandler, the rail fan guys that listen to railroad stuff. A lot of those guys buy old mobile or radios to listen to rail services, and they have to be real cautious about that, because you start transmitting those rail frequencies, that's also a federal offense on top of it. I know several people that have bought them off and programmed them. This is all channelized. And this is all analog now. The NXD and stuff is in the rail system now, but they don't use it a lot so far. But I know a lot of guys, some years back when I was interested in listening to railroads in the area, there's a guy that used to come down here, Nin Anderson, is down at one of the switching areas down there, and he had a, I was just using a regular handheld listening to him, but he had a regular Motorola, I think it was a Motorola, might have been a Kenwood, anyway, it was one of the two that he had, and it was a regular mobile that belonged to the railroad that had just been dumped off somewhere, and I think he paid about $50 for it, and hooked it back up and made sure he took the mic off of it so he could transmit on it. N4DJC.
Hey, guys, it's Taylor from WWG. I need a favor if possible.
We'll see what we can do. K4CHY.
So I'm trying to get to Frankie's Fun Park on Woodruff Drive on Greenville, and I had my GPS going, but my phone got overheated, and now it closed out GPS. I'm currently on Maplington. I need to get off this road to get the parking lot. But I need to figure out where else I need to go, because I had no idea where I go from here.
Keith, probably look it up, but I can't remember the road it's on. It's just off Woodruff, and there used to be a gas station on one side of it at Woodruff, and I believe it was a TCBY yogurt place, but all that's changed now. But you basically just take if you're on Woodruff headed towards like Simpsonville, that direction, you take a ride off Woodruff, and Frankie's Fun Park is right down there on the left. It's probably a half mile or so down there, I think. Keith, you might have access to the computer to tell him.
I'm looking it up on maps. Let me go over to Google Maps, because Apple Maps is not giving me what I need. I've been over there a couple of times, but it's been so long I couldn't tell you exactly right off the top of my head how to get to it. But stand by and I'll get back with you. K4CHY. Chandler, you said you're on Miller Road?
Just turned right off of Nathanson into a parking lot. There is actually something that looks and appears to be like a radio tower right in front of me. There's a, looks like maybe a loading dock in this parking lot. It's got two garage looking doors that you would normally see a forklift coming out. I forgot what the road name, but any of the road I come right onto is that I am literally sitting in the parking lot. I think it's called Old Something Road. I can't see it well from here. Describe. See it. My number.
It looks like you're not far from it. So if you come off of Mapleton and you're sitting there at the corner of, say, Mapleton and Oak Forest Drive, if you come off of Mapleton, you hang a right, and that will take you down to Miller Road, and hang a left on Miller Road, and it's just a little ways up. On the right-hand side, you'll see another road called Park Woodruff Drive, and you'll pass by Frankie's as you're headed that way.
These are right.
It's on Park Woodruff Drive. It's where the entrance is. And if you make a left when you get off Oak Forest Drive on the Miller Road, you'll cross by. It should be like a gymnastics place down the left. Plastics. And you'll see Frankie's on the right, and just like he said, and you take the next right, which is Park Woodruff Road, and the parking lot where Frankie's Fun Park will be right there on your right. Is that what you're saying, T.K.?
Right there at it. So, yeah, it shouldn't be too bad to get there from where you're at. If you're at Mapleton and in the South Oak Forest, you'll go by Clearfield Road, and then you'll come up on Miller Road, and that's where South Oak Forest ends. Hang a left on Miller Road, and then the next right is going to be the Park Woodruff Road. You hang a right there, and that'll take you down to Frankie's.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to sit here in this shade spot and see if my phone
will pull off for a few minutes. I'll keep talking to y'all. I appreciate y'all helping me out. Really good. You've been a blessing. You definitely want to sit there in the shade a minute, because if your phone overheats, you can't be far from it. Over.
We talked at the old lunch hour. Hope you got something to eat.
I'd already made my sandwich and come here and sit down before ever keyed up the mic.
Back to work in a minute, too. Good talking to you today as usual. And if I can't figure out what to do on the 52 here, I may have to wind up getting an 878. They do look like nice radios. They're some of the nicest ones I've seen out there. And just the coat plugs that I didn't know anything about. The learning curve is pretty steep on them, and you know, you've already done it. You know all the right things to do and what not to do. So that may, if I do need to get an open spot for those at some point in time, that would be pretty beneficial for me. I don't travel that much, but it'd be nice to be able to carry it with me when I do travel. Well, listen, I'll let you go. And, Chandler, I hope you have a good afternoon. It's the day of the sun. It's going to be hot out there today. Hotter than it is even right now. Keith, you have a good afternoon. And 73, talk to you later. M4DJC, clear.
I was running the APRS through the digital APRS through the open spot because that's the most reliable way I've found, you know, because if you have to rely on digipeters like Stacy found out, you don't always hit a digipeter, especially on a long journey like that, and especially going through, you know, eastern Georgia in the country like I do. So, I found that that's the only reliable way I can map out a path. So, but yeah, when you get a chance, go back there and
look up a call sign -7 and expand your timeline over on the right and the options out to whatever, you know, several days, and you'll see the drive down to Savannah and then a little loop back to the farm and then back up here. Anyway, Jerry, take it easy, and we'll catch you a little later. And Chandler, like Jerry said, yeah, be careful out there. It's definitely a hot one. Kind of envy you being over there at the Frankie's. Kind of miss going over there riding go-karts and stuff, but I don't know if I'd ride go-karts in this hot weather. Anyway, y'all have a great day, and we'll talk at you later. KN4CHY, I'll be clear and going back to work.
Roger that, Chief. I just got to thinking, I might mention today about that Motorola stuff. Maybe we could set up a software license through the DRARS, and maybe that be a part of our yearly membership fee or something. Never hurts to ask.
Worst they could do is say no. I don't know how many folks have got Motorola's, but if there's enough interest, that might be the case. But yeah, that's like I said, that is the number one reason number two reason, the first being price, that I didn't do it, because I just couldn't, you know, download the software, just go in and program to my heart's content. So that's really the main reason I was, like I said, I found one used that was a decent price and was thinking about getting it, and I started checking in the software, so that was basically what killed the deal for me. Anyway, have a great day. Have a fun afternoon. I'm sure you will. It's kind of hard not to over there. And we'll catch you later. KO4WWZ, KN4CHY. I'll be clear.
All right, 73, Steve. God bless. Thank you for your help, and it's a pleasure talking to you. I'll be on the side listening, and anyone else who'd like to have a few shows, go ahead and pick it up. I'll be glad to talk to you.